The Life of Sinuhe. The patrician and count, the governor of the sovereign's domains in the Syrian lands, the true acquaintance of the king whom he loves, the follower, Sinuhe, says, I was a follower who followed his lord, a servant of the royal chambers and of the patrician lady, the greatly praised, the queen of Senwasrit in Kanumsut, the princess of Amenemhat in Karnifa, Nefru, blessed lady. Year 30, month 3 of spring, day 7. The god ascended to his horizon. The king, Sehotep Ibre, mounted to heaven and was united with the sun, the divine flesh joining with its creator. The royal residence was in silence. Hearts were in mourning. The great portal was shut. The entourage was bowed down, and the patricians were grieving. Now, His Majesty had sent an expedition to the Libyan land with his eldest son at its head, the young god, Senwasrit. But now he was returning, having carried off Libyan captives and all sorts of cattle without number. The courtiers of the royal retinue sent to the western border to inform the prince of the affair that had happened in the throne room. On the road, the messengers found him. They reached him at nightfall. Not a moment did he wait. The falcon flew off with his followers without informing his expedition. When the king's children accompanying him on the expedition were sent to, they summoned one of them. When I was standing on duty, I heard his voice as he spoke, as I was a little way off. Oh, my heart staggered. My arms spread out, trembling fell on every limb. I removed myself, shaking, to seek a hiding place for myself. I put myself between two bushes to clear the way for the traveller. I made my way southwards, but I did not plan to reach the royal residence, expecting strife would happen. I did not think to live after these things. I crossed Lake Truth in the region of the Sycamore Shrine. I came to Senefru's Island. I passed the day there on the edge of a field, and when it was day again, I made an early start. I met a man standing in my way. He saluted me, though I was afraid of him. When it was supper time, I had arrived at Wild Bull Harbour. I crossed in a rudderless barge, blown by the west wind. I passed east of the quarry above Lady of the Red Mountain. I gave my feet a northwards path, and I reached the walls of the ruler made to beat back the Syrian nomads. I crouched down in a bush for fear of being seen by the watchers on duty on the walls. I made my way in the night time. When it was dawn, I had reached Petén. I alighted on an island of the Bitter Lakes. Thirst's attack overtook me, and I was scorched. My throat was parched. I said, "This is the taste of death." But I lifted up my heart and gathered my limbs together as I heard the noise of animals beating, caught sight of Syrian nomads, and a sheikh of theirs who had once been in Egypt recognized me. Then he gave me water while they boiled milk for me. I went with him to his clan, and what they did for me was good. Country gave me to country. I set out for Byblis. I got to Caerdon. I spent half a year there when Amunenshi carried me off. He was the ruler of Upper Rechenu, and he told me, "You'll be happy with me, for you'll hear the speech of Egypt." He said this knowing my character, having heard of my knowledge, and the Egyptians who were with him there had vouched for me. Then he said to me, "Why did you come here? Has anything happened in the royal residence?" "The king, Sehotep Ibre, has departed to the horizon, and how all this happened is unknown." But I spoke falsely. "I have come from the expedition to the Libyan land. It was reported to me, and my heart failed and carried me off on the desert ways. I had not been talked about, and my face had not been spat at. I had heard no reproaches. My name had not been heard in the herald's mouth. I do not know what brought me to this desert country. It was like a plan of God." "So, how is that land without him? That worthy god, fear of whom is throughout the desert countries like Sekhmet's in a plague year." So I said to him, answering him, "Oh, indeed, his son has already entered the palace and has taken up the inheritance of his father. Now, he is a god who is peerless, before whom no other exists. He is a lord of understanding, excellent of plans, effective of ordering, coming and going by his command. He subdues the countries. His father stayed within his palace, and he reported to him that what he had ordained was done. Now, he is a hero, active with his strong arm, a champion without compare, seen descending on barbarians, approaching the combat. He curbs horns, weakens hands. His foes cannot marshal troops. He is vengeful, a smasher of foreheads. Close to him no one can stand. He is far striding, destroying the fugitive. There is no end for the man who shows him his back. He is firm-hearted at the moment of forcing retreat. He turns back again and again. He shows not his own back. He is stout-hearted, seeing the masses. He allows no rest around his heart. He is bold, seeing the clan. His joy is descending on barbarians. As soon as he takes up his shield, he tramples. He needs no second blow to slay. None can escape his arrow. None draw his bow. Barbarians flee his arms like the power of the great goddess. Having foreseen the end, he fights heedless of all else. And he is a lord of kindness, great of sweetness. Through love he has conquered. His city loves him more than its own members. It rejoices at him more than at its god. Men and women pass by, exulting at him. He is a king who conquered in the womb. His eyes have been on it from birth. He makes those born with him plentiful. He is unique, of God's giving. How joyful this land! Since he has ruled, he extends the borders. He will conquer southern lands and will not yet consider northern countries. But he was begotten to strike Syrian nomads, to trample sandfarers. Send to him. Let him know your name. As a man far from his majesty who inquires, he will not fail to do good for a country that will be loyal to him." And he said to me, "Well, Egypt must be so happy since she knows of his success. But look, you are here. And you're with me. I shall do you good. He placed me at the head of his children. He joined me with his eldest daughter. He made me make my choice of his desert country from the choicest of what was his, on his border with another desert country. It was a good land called Ya'ar. Figs were in it, and grapes. Its wine was more copious than water, great its honey, plentiful its oil, with all kinds of fruit on its trees. Barley was there, and emma, and numberless were all its herds. Now, what came to me as a favourite was great. He made me the ruler of a clan of the choicest of his desert country. Provisions were made for me every day, with wine as a daily supply, cooked flesh and roast fowl, as well as desert game. They would snare for me, they would lay it out for me, as well as the catch of my own hounds. Many sweets were made for me, with milk in every cooked dish. I spent many years there, while my children became heroes, each man subduing his clan. The messenger who went north and south to the royal residence would tarry for me. I would make all Egyptians tarry. I would give water to the thirsty. I returned the wanderer to the path and rescued the robbed. The Syrian nomads who became so bold as to resist the country's rulers, I spoke against their campaigns. This ruler of Rechenu would have me spend many years as the commander of his army. Every country against which I set out, I made my attack on it, and it was driven from its grasslands and wells. I plundered its herds and carried off its inhabitants and took away their food. I killed the people in it with my strong arm, with my bow, with my campaigns and with my excellent plans. I attained high regard in this ruler's heart. He loved me, knowing my valour. He made me the headman of his children, having seen the strength of my arms. There came a hero of Rechenu to provoke me in my tent. He was a peerless champion who had subdued them all. He said he would fight with me. He planned to rob me and thought to plunder my herds on the advice of his clan. That ruler conferred with me. And so I said to him, I do not know him. Am I some ally of his who walks around his camp, or have I opened his private quarters, scaled his stockade? This is just resentment at seeing me do your missions. So, I am like a bull of the roaming cattle in the midst of another herd whom the bull of that group attacks, whom that wild bull is charging. Can an outsider ever be loved as a superior? No barbarian can ever ally with a Delta man. What can ever establish the papyrus on the desert mountain? Does that bull want to fight, or does that champion want to sound a retreat in terror of being equaled? If he has the will to fight, let him speak his wish. Can God not know what he has fated? Doesn't he know what will be? When it was night, I strung my bow and tried my arrows, sharpened my sword and polished my weapons. When it was dawn, all Retinue had come, having inflamed its clans and gathered its neighbouring countries, for it had planned this fight. And yet every breast burned for me. The wives jabbered, and every heart pitied me, saying, "Can the stranger be strong enough to fight him?" Then his shield, his axe, his armful of javelins fell. After I had escaped his weapons and made them miss me with his arrows spent in vain, one after the other, he approached me, and I shot him. My arrow stuck in his neck. He cried out and fell on his face. I felled him with his own axe, and I gave my war cry on his back, while every Asiatic was bellowing. I gave praises to the war god, while his supporters mourned him. This ruler, Amunanshi, took me into his arms. Then I carried off the challenger's property and plundered his herds. What he had planned to do to me, I did to him. I seized what was in his tent and stripped his camp. With this, I became great and grew copious of wealth and plentiful of herds. For now, God has acted graciously to one with whom he was offended, whom he led astray to another country. Today, he is satisfied. A fugitive takes flight because of his circumstances. My reputation is in the royal residence. A creeping man creeps off because of hunger. I give bread to my neighbour. A man leaves his land because of nakedness. I have bright linen, white linen. A man runs off because of the lack of someone to send. I am plentiful of serfs. Good is my house, spacious my dwelling place, and remembrance of me is in the... Remembrance of me is in the palace. Whatever god fated this flight, be gracious and bring me home. Surely you will let me see the place where my heart still stays. What matters more than my being buried in the land where I was born? This is my prayer for help, that the good event befall, that God give me grace. May he act in this way to ease the end of someone he made helpless, his heart pitying someone he compelled to live in a desert country. Today, is he gracious enough to hear the prayer of someone far off, who can now turn back from where he has roamed the earth to the place he was taken from? May the king of Egypt be gracious to me, that I may live on his grace. May I greet the mistress of the land who is in his palace and hear her children's messages. So shall my limbs grow young again, because now old age has fallen. Weakness has overtaken me. My eyes are heavy and my arms feeble. My legs have failed and my heart follows weariness. I am near to dying. May they lead me to the cities of eternity. May I follow the Lady of All, and she tell me that all is well with her children. May she pass eternity above me. Now they told the majesty of the king Kepakare about the state of affairs in which I was, and his majesty sent to me with bounty of royal giving, like to any ruler of a country, to gladden the heart of this humble servant and the royal children who were in his palace. Let me hear their messages. Copy of the decree brought to this humble servant about his being brought back to Egypt. Horus, living of incarnations, two ladies, living of incarnations, golden Horus, living of incarnations, the king, Kepakare, son of the sun god, Senwosrit. May he live for all time and eternity. Royal decree to the follower, Sinuhe. Look, this decree of the king is brought to you to inform you that you're roving through countries going from Kedem to Rechenu, country giving you to country, was at the council of your own heart. What had you done that you should be acted against? You had not cursed that your speech should be punished. You had not spoken in the official's council that your utterance should be opposed. This idea carried off your heart. It was not in my heart against you. This, your heaven, who is in the palace, endures and flourishes today with her head covered in the kingship of the land and with her children in the throne room. You will store up wealth given by them and live on their bounty. Come back to Egypt. And you will see the royal residence where you grew up, kiss the earth at the great portal, and join with the courtiers. For today, you have already begun to be old, have lost virility, and have in mind the day of burial, the passing to blessedness. A night of funeral vigil will be given to you with holy oils and wrappings from the hands of the weaving goddess. A funeral procession will be made for you on the day of joining the earth, with a mummy case of gold, a mask of lapis lazuli, a heaven over you, and you placed in a hearse with oxen pulling you and singers going before you. The dance of the oblivious ones will be done at the door of your tomb, and the offering invocation recited for you. Sacrifices will be made at the door of your offering place. Your pillars will be built of white stone in the midst of the royal children's. Your death will not happen in a desert country. Asiatics will not lay you to rest. You will not be put in a ram skin when your burial is made. This is too long to be roaming the earth. Consider your corpse and come back. This decree reached me as I stood in the middle of my clan. It was read to me, and I prostrated myself. I touched the earth and scattered it on my hair. I roved around my camp, shouting, "How is this done for a servant whose heart led him astray to alien countries? So good is the kindness which saves me from death. Your spirit will let me make my end with my limbs at home." Copy of the reply to the decree. The servant of the palace, Sinuhe, says, "Most happy welcome." Concerning this flight, which your humble servant made in his ignorance, it is your spirit, young god, lord of the two lands, which is loved by the sun god and favoured by the war god, lord of Thebes, Amun, lord of the throne of the two lands, Sobek-Re, Horus, Hathor, Artem and his company of gods, Soptu-Nephobau Semseru, the eastern Horus, the lady of Emet, may she enfold your head, the divine council upon the flood, Min-Horus in the midst of the desert countries, Wereret, lady of Punt, Nut, Haweres-Re, and all the gods of the homeland and the islands of the sea, may they give life and dominion to your nostrils, endow you with their bounty, and give you eternity without limit, all time without end. May fear of you resound in lands and desert countries, for you have curbed the circuit of the sun. This is the prayer of a humble servant for his Lord, who can rescue from the land of the dead. As the majesty of the royal retinue, you, the Lord of Perception, perceiver of the people, perceives what your humble servant was too afraid to say. It is like an unrepeatably great matter. Great God, equal of the sun god in understanding someone who willingly serves him, your humble servant is in the hand of him who asks after him. Let me be placed at your disposal. Your majesty is Horus the Conqueror. Your arms are mighty against all lands. Now, may your majesty command that I have Merki brought from Kedem, the forester from out of Keshu, and Menus from the lands of the Phoenicians. They are rulers who are well known, who live by love of you, without calling retinue to mind. It is yours, even like your hounds. This flight which your humble servant made, I had not planned it. It was not in my heart. I had not thought of it. I know not what parted me from my place. It was like the nature of a dream, like a Delta man seeing himself in Aswan, a man of the marshy lagoons in southern Egypt. I had no cause to be afraid. No one had run after me. I had heard no reproaches. My name had not been heard in the herald's mouth. Only that shuddering of my limbs, my feet galloping, my heart overmastering me, the god who fated this flight, dragging me away. I had not been arrogant, for a man must respect him who knows his own land, and the sun god has put respect for you throughout the land and terror of you in every desert country. Whether I am at home or whether I am in this place, it is You who veils this horizon of mine. The sun shines for love of you. The water of the river is drunk when you wish. The air of heaven is breathed when you say. Your humble servant will hand everything over to the little ones whom your humble servant has begotten in this place, for a journey has been made for your humble servant. May your majesty do whatever you desire. Men live on the breath of your giving. May the sun god, Horus, and Hathor love these your noble nostrils, which the war god, Lord of Thebes, desires to live for all time. I was allowed to spend a day in Ya'a, handing my property over to my children, my eldest son was in charge of my clan, and all my property was his, my servants, all my herds, my fruit, and all my sweet trees. Then, this humble servant came southwards, and I halted at the royal road. The commander there, who was in charge of the garrison, sent a message to the royal residents to inform them. And his majesty caused a worthy overseer of the peasants of the royal estate to come, accompanied by laden boats and bearing bounty of royal giving for the Syrian nomads who had come with me, leading me to the royal road. And I announced each one by his name. Every serving man was at his duty. I began and set sail, with kneading and brewing beside me, until I reached the harbour of the capital, Ichtawi. When it was dawn, very early, they came and summoned me, 10 men coming, 10 men going, ushering me to the palace. I touched the ground between the sphinxes as the royal children stood in the portal performing the reception, and the courtiers who ushered to the pillared hall were showing me the way to the throne room. I found His Majesty on the great throne in the portal of white gold, and then I was there, stretched out, prostrated, and I was unconscious of myself in front of him while this god was addressing me cheerfully. But I was like a man seized in the dusk. My soul had perished, my limbs failed, my heart was not in my body. I did not know life from death. And His Majesty said to one of the courtiers, "Raise him up and have him speak to me." And His Majesty said, "Look, you have returned after roaming desert countries, after flight has made its attack on you. You are now elderly and have reached old age. Your burial is no small matter. You will not be laid to rest by barbarians. Do not act against yourself any more. You did not speak when your name was announced. Are you frightened of punishment?" I answered with the answer of a frightened man. "What does my lord say to me that I can answer? This is no disrespect towards God, but a terror that exists in my body like that which caused the fatal flight. Look, I am in front of you, and life is yours. May your majesty do whatever he desires. And the royal children were ushered in, and his majesty said to the queen, Look, Sinuhe has returned as an Asiatic, an offspring of the Syrian nomads, and she gave a very great cry. And the royal children shrieked as one, and they said to his majesty, Is it really he, sovereign my lord? And his majesty said, It is really he. Now they had brought their necklaces, their rattles, and their sister with them, and they presented them to his majesty. Your hands upon this beauty, enduring king, these insignia of the Lady of Heaven. May the golden goddess give life to your nostrils, the Lady of Stars enfold you, south crown fares north, north crown south, joined and made one in the words of your majesty, on whose brow the sacred serpent sits. You have delivered the poor from evil. May the sun god, lord of the two lands, be gracious to you, hail to you as to the lady of all. Slacken your bow. Withdraw your shaft. Give breath to him who suffocates. Reward us well for this song, with this shake. North wind son, the barbarian born in the homeland. He took flight through fear of you. He left the land through terror of you. A face that has seen your face should not pale. An eye that has gazed at you should not fear. And his majesty said, He shall not fear. He shall not gibber in terror. He will be a courtier among the officials and be appointed amongst the entourage. Proceed to the robing chamber to attend on him. I went forth from the throne room with the royal children giving me their hands. And afterwards, we went through the great portal. I was assigned to the house of a prince with costly things in it, with a bathroom in it, and divine images of the horizon, with treasures in it from the treasury, clothes of royal linen, myrrh, and kingly fine oil, with officials whom the king loved in every room and every serving man at his duty. The years were made to pass from my limbs. I was shaved and my hair was cut. A load was given back to the desert country and clothes back to the sandfarers. I was clad in fine linen. I was anointed with fine oil. I slept on a bed. I returned the sand to those who are on it, and the tree oil to those covered with it. I was given the house of a governor, such as belongs to a courtier. Many craftsmen were building it. All its trees were freshly planted. Meals were brought to me from the palace 3 and 4 times a day, as well as what the royal children gave without a moment ceasing. A pyramid of stone was built for me in the midst of the pyramids, The overseer of masons was measuring its foundations. The overseer of draughtsmen was drawing in it. The sculptors were carving in it. The overseer of works, which are in the burial ground, was occupied with it. All the equipment to be put in a tomb shaft. Its share of these things was made. I was given funerary priests. A tomb garden was made for me, with fields in it, in front, at the harbour, as is done for a chief courtier. My statue was overlaid with gold, and its kilt with white gold. It is His Majesty who has caused this to be done. There is no other wretch for whom the like was done. I was in the favours of the king's giving until the arrival of the day of landing. So it ends, from start to finish, as found in writing.